Greg is opening his family's restaurant. Paula might be leaving Mountaintop for some more money. Rebecca's kind of getting a childhood shattering. And which of these guys is she going to choose? We're going to talk all about it right now.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Guys, 1 month hiatus, and we are back. Yep.
We are. I'm not sad.
You're sad.
I love that song still. I love it. I don't care.
We're getting down to the wire here.
April 7th. Three more episodes?
It's four more, but they're doing a double up because the concert is going to be the last episode, and they're going to play it back to back with the final episode.
At the Orpheum? Where did we decide the concert was going to be?
I thought it was New York.
I thought it was New York. Maybe it's not. Maybe they're doing both.
They just did it at the Orpheum yesterday. Oh, yesterday. There you go. I thought it was New York. I had no idea.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Well,
guys, we weren't invited. Thank you for being here with us today. We're going to get all into our discussion of what's going on in this show and our theories of what's coming up later. Plus, we have our special segment, the Rebecca Bunch Crazy Meter, as well as some great news and gossip for you guys. But I am not here alone. I am your host, Brianna Phipps, and I have to my left, Nino Linera has been here from the very beginning.
Hey guys, it's your boy Nino, and I'm excited to talk about this episode and how they're all bringing it back to how everyone's doing.
And one more seat down. Unfortunately, his last episode with us for the season.
In person, but in spirit, I'll be here. You can catch me on the Sabrina after show.
It's Tayron.
That's who's here. So just know I will be here.
He's like on 50 other shows.
In spirit. Okay? I want everyone to know. Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
And maybe you could Skype in. You don't know.
You never know.
You never know.
You never know with me.
Mm-hmm. What did you guys think of the episode overall?
Nino?
I actually liked this episode because it kind of, like I mentioned earlier, it kind of brought everything back to how everyone was doing at this moment in time. We're kind of drawing back to Paula looking for a new job because she passed the bar, obviously, if she's looking for a job now. And last time we saw her, she was taking the test, right? Mm-hmm. And then last time we were kind of confused to figure out what's happening with the three lovers. While Rebecca wants to concentrate on her dream, she's concentrating on her dream. We realize that three lovers are still in love with Rebecca, obviously. They try to find any which way to still try to hang out with her. So just basically all draws it back. I think it's a nice reintroduction right before it goes into the tail end of the finale.
Okay. And Tayron?
So I was a dissenter a couple episodes ago when I felt like they were just having episodes that weren't pushing along the storyline. These are the episodes that I wish were happening earlier in the in the season. They're really good. They're fun. And I will say this, that the episode I thought was really good, and then when I found out that the songs were actually created songs and not... I thought they were real
The person
songs.
Was real, Elliot.
I thought they were real songs from real plays. I'm not a thespian like Brie, so she knows all her plays and her playwrights and everything. So I thought they were real, and I was like, oh, that's so... But now that I know they're made of songs, I was like, yo, these are hilarious.
Makes it even better.
Way better. And I liked the episode a lot to begin with.
Yeah, I thought this was a really good episode. I really liked the twist of, like, I guess it's not really a twist. It's kind of how I expected it to go, but I like that they're not making it easy for her. Like, oh, I realized my dream, and now everything's great.
Right, because you would think they would just, like, it's towards the end. We should go ahead and just cut the storyline down and just figure it out.
Well, that's what other shows would do.
Yeah.
Other shows would be like, oh, she figured it all out, now life's easy.
No, they're going
to
run...
that's not life.
Right.
And so I'm glad that they're sticking to what they've been doing with it all. And all these guys, though.
They're going to run this to the end.
Josh has become kind of infuriating, right?
Because he's not saying anything?
Why?
I've always found him infuriating.
I like Josh, but now his passive-aggressive behavior has really been something that just really does.
So
I find it obnoxious.
Well, let's dive into the episode and let's talk about some of these guys. So let's start off with Greg. Greg's opening up his family restaurant. We find out it's for a thesis for his school, and that's why he's staying in West Covina, because his teacher apparently likes family restaurants, and Heather's helping him.
Mm-hmm. His ex-girlfriend.
His ex-girlfriend, and she's kind of doing some therapy work on
him
as well.
Right. Whoa, let's not disrespect my girlfriend on your someone else's ex. I love Heather. I was glad to have Heather back on an episode. She had been kind of absent in... at least with time-wise, where she wasn't getting enough of...
Oh, she was quick in the
episode. She wasn't getting enough airplay. Mm-hmm. She wasn't getting enough of a storyline. Now she was finally back. I really like Greg, But the more I see with Greg, the more I realize he's not the one.
Really?
He's not the one. I'm going.
I'm
saving it. I'm team Nathaniel, but I'm saying.
I have a prediction too with that.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll talk about
that. But I like that. Yeah. Finding out about the restaurant and the dad running it down, and we get that revelation from Heather. Was like, no, Wes Covina didn't turn his back on you. Your dad was an alcoholic.
Well, and I like that parallel that they have him start off being his cynical self even when Chris, we get Chris back and he walks in and he's like, oh, it's not chain restaurant.
Who's
this
grown?
Is going to be real food for you. And he keeps acting very superior. Right. And it comes out to turn. It's not that people were turning their backs on this family restaurant to go eat at chains like Olive Garden. It was because your dad was an alcoholic and
right.
didn't
he
do
saw
his job.
It differently. Kind of just like how we're going to talk about Rebecca seeing these songs differently too. All the underlying factor is like you perceive something when you're younger a little bit more differently than when you are when you're older, and you're more self-aware of certain things that are going on in your
life. I think
life.
No one ever wants to think that they're the issue, and maybe he didn't want to think his dad was the issue. He wanted it to be like, oh, no, people suck.
All the time. Suppress your feelings.
And that's actually something that we would have seen Rebecca do in previous seasons, where she's deflecting and projecting. And that's kind of interesting to see that happen now with Greg.
Because she projected a little bit here, but she still, like, her projecting isn't projecting like it was in season two.
No.
It's definitely drawn back a lot, and it might have to do with the medication she's taking.
Well, and it turns out, Rebecca can't make it because this happens to fall on the same night as her musical review. But it's a huge success.
It's a packed house.
It's a packed house.
For community theater.
Well, no, I'm saying his restaurant.
The restaurant opening.
His restaurant opening is a huge success. Like, he doesn't get just 2-4 people. He gets an entire...
It's sold out. It's basically packed.
He's got a line down the block.
Right.
And, you know, he's...
He's got lasagna to die for.
He seems like... It almost makes him like a new person in a way to have this realization that something he did worked and he's successful.
Yeah. It's an idea that was there before reborn, and it's because of him. You know, obviously Heather was helping as well too, but it's his idea, it's his thesis project, and it's going in the right direction. Something's working out for him. Mm-hmm. After all these years where a whole bunch of things weren't working out for him and he had to run away from his problems.
Well, this is something he always wanted to do. He always wanted to go to business school and he kept putting that on hold for his dad, and now he's actually running a business and it's working.
Yeah.
So it's not like, it's like, it's almost like everything you did, everything you waited for, it was not for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Chris, that's the friend, right? He was the kid, and now
he's
18 feet tall. What's going on?
Look, I remember being in middle school and like all the boys in middle school being very short and very kind of like round. And then somewhere in high school, over a summer, they all sprouted up and got muscles. Yeah. And I was like, what happened? So I think that's what happened with Chris. You know, he had his growth spurt of puberty.
And then they were like, we're going to have to play this. Really
and they
well.
Addressed it. They addressed it where they, he's and like, he says, what? I've been through puberty. What? It happens.
And he's like, I eat, I sleep.
You know what's funny? Because we always, when he's in a scene, he's always sitting down at the bar. So he's never really stood up, right? And so, like, when we see him, he looks like a tiny little kid waiting for his chicken fingers or whatnot. So him coming through the door saying, I'm driving, looking like he's almost 6 foot tall.
But that's how it happens with kids too. It's like it's one day they're still a kid and next day they're an adult. It's crazy.
It's also a great like look at how the season's progressed, or you know, it's the fourth season now. You tend to forget sometimes that it's been a good number of years.
Yeah. And then Rebecca comes the next day because she can't make it for that night. She lets him know how her review went, and he confesses, you know, I still have feelings for you. I still would like to pursue something here.
See, everyone's so straightforward except Josh.
Except for Josh. And everyone has the same, okay, like even the fish bubbles.
Yes.
So here's my question. Did Greg stay for the restaurant, or did he initially stay for Rebecca?
He says
he thought about it, but I don't know if
he... I feel like it's a little A and a little B. Like he always was going to come do this restaurant thing. It seems like he was like, I'm coming out for the reunion and now I'm going to stay for the restaurant. But, you know, I think she played a part.
It was C, both A and B, like literally in the beginning. But I think at the end, he even mentions it. He's like, you know, I thought about it and I thought it was for you first. And now seeing that I could do this makes me want to continue to do this for myself.
Mm-hmm. But does he mean that, or is he still saying that? I think he means it.
I think he really enjoyed the success feeling.
You know how we said Nathaniel didn't look back? Greg was like, let me get you some lasagna. Said his piece and just went. It wasn't like a moment. So maybe he really did mean it.
Well, and the reason I question that is because then why bring up I still have feelings for you and then say this?
I think he's that type of guy, though. Greg's that very straightforward type of guy. I'm just going to let you know this is what I was thinking in the beginning. And that's that. So he's almost unpredictable sometimes. So it could be that he might not have the feelings anymore and he just wants to concentrate on this.
I think he's trying to not hold things in.
Right.
And hold things back anymore like he used to. Because when he could have said I love you and he didn't. The first time at the mm-hmm. wedding, it's like he's always kind of thrown himself to the sideway so that other people can have it because he knew he wasn't good enough. But now he's like, I'm good enough, and I'm just letting you know this.
So
and
do with success it what you will. Helps.
I okay. think so.
Yeah. Okay.
And the therapy and everything
that,
else,
I can ride that wave. I can ride that wave.
Yeah.
Well, he's not the only one having success. Paula's having a lot of success.
Yeah, shout out to Paula.
Paula is getting offers left and right, being wined and dined, and Daryl is not happy with it.
Well, here's the thing. First of all, Paula graduated top of her class. That's an important point, especially when it comes to a reference of law school. That's amazing. Good for you, Paula. Second of all, she comes in and tells Daryl, like, oh, I'm getting offers. And he's like, oh, I know what you're doing. You're playing this game. Oh, okay. It's like, no, this is how it works.
I think Daryl just never thought of a possibility of her not staying with Mountaintop. You're a lawyer, you work at a law firm, and
sure, but this is like a relationship, right? So it's like a relationship. When you take your girl for granted, she will find another man.
Well, and he comes to realize that, and he wishes her the best, and she kind of does the same for him, saying, we're still friends, and I know I've never really given you that, but we're not just work friends, we're friends.
And I think she saw that because of all the effort that he was trying to put forth into giving her that offer, wedding dining her, and all that other stuff too, and trying to make something special for her. And when he knew that he can't deliver on maybe a six-figure salary that she was looking at and getting offers from because they're such a small law firm, and him realizing, I got to let her fly the coop and do her thing because I want to be her friend, I think that probably just touched her.
Yeah. I mean, I think, like, for her, she didn't want to hurt him, but it could help her go a long way. She's been living paycheck to paycheck probably between her and her husband. Mm-hmm. For all of their life, and now there's this opportunity to actually have money.
She says that. She actually says, this could do a lot for my family.
Mm-hmm. And her kid wants to go to college, she could actually send him to college.
Yeah. A couple weeks ago, we said that we're not going to see the husband again, right?
He's done, yeah.
Yeah, he's wrapped.
Yeah. He's wrapped. Last episode was...
I would have liked to have seen his reaction to
this. Me too. I was hoping he would have stayed.
Because he's always been a rock. It would have been nice to see his take on it, what he would have said. Maybe he would have guided her towards Mountaintop regardless. I don't know. But it would have been nice.
I'm like that we came to this like conclusion that she probably isn't going to stay, but that they're both going to be okay with it. Right. And we got the little...
I don't know if Daryl will. I mean, I know he says yes, but I don't think he will. He's an ex.
He'll still have his little things here and there, but he wants what's best for her in the long run.
And I mean, her saying we're friends out of work, and she's never said that before, and always said, no, you're not my best friend. That's her saying that to him, I think that was a lot. Yeah, exactly.
And with both Greg and this, we got a throwback to one of the older seasons. For this one, it was that song playing on the ukulele in the background, and then we got the reprise of West Covina for Greg.
Right.
Mm. So I like that they're kind of
bringing stuff back.
They're showing things that happened before that were not the greatest things, and like being like, you know what, we came to a better place now with these.
Right. Growth, people, growth.
That's the point of the show right now, is growth.
Yes. And we grow here with you guys every single week, and we enjoy being able to talk with you, theorize about these shows that we love to talk about, and we just want to say thank you guys for doing that. I mean, what do you guys think? Can we give them a shout-out, give them a thank you?
Anytime you guys interact with us on comments or DMing us with information on news and gossip, let us know. We'll go ahead and shout you out here on the actual show, not just for this show, but for all other shows as well, too. So don't forget to subscribe, leave us a comment, and let us know how we're doing and what we can do to make the show even better.
Yeah, it really does help us, leaving us those comments, not just here, on our iTunes, giving us 5 stars if you're watching or listening on iTunes, giving us that thumbs up and subscribing if you're on YouTube side. It really helps us out a lot, and we really enjoy being able to do this here with you. We can't do it without you. That's just... facts.
I don't know. I might still do it without you guys. Look, I start recording stuff. Listen to myself talk. That's how
Tayron will do it without the show. Without the show will be done.
I'll be outside on the sidewalk. Like, okay, so here's my thing about Rebecca. I'm not sad.
You're sad.
And speaking of Rebecca being sad, you know, she has this big idea of her whole life of theater and how it brought her so much joy and love and happiness. And now she's singing these songs that she sang as a kid, and they're not quite what she remembers them to be.
First, let's talk about the fact that everyone keeps saying Rebecca doesn't have a good voice. From what I understand, she actually has a really good voice in real life, correct?
Rachel Bloom has a
Rachel
great
Bloom
voice
does.
In real
has
life.
Has a great voice.
But yes. I think they're just trying to make a joke on the fact that she, in her head, is this amazing singer. Mm-hmm. And when she sings, it's not that she's a bad singer. Like, I think they're kind of placating a little bit more. Like, they're a zero.
Exactly.
She's better than
it's
a zero.
It's definitely not a zero. Trust me, I'm a zero. I enjoy her voice.
She's
I
just
like
not,
it. It's
she's
sweet.
Just not, like, the top of the class singer. Yeah. When it comes
which
to
is
this.
Funny because real good singers, when they try to sing bad, it's really, really hard to try to not, you know, stay on note or whatnot, or to be in character to make it funny or whatnot. But she's not like a Lucille Ball who just can't sing at all. Like she could hold a note or whatnot.
And she gets her song. Yeah. She gets a character song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But her character song is quite the anti-feminist song.
Yeah,
the 100% saloon song?
Yes.
What was it called?
I'm a Lass Will Be a Husband. Like, what was it?
I think it was just The Saloon Girl.
Yeah. The Saloon Girl. Where
I think. I might be wrong on the title.
It was a play on Guys and Dolls. It was a parody from one of
I mean, all of these songs we get are parodies of older songs from Broadway shows. And it just, one, it's changing of the times. But it's two, it's that when you're a kid, you let things fly by. I remember being a kid and watching Mrs. Doubtfire and then watching as an adult and not realizing how many sexual innuendos were in that film because as a kid, it didn't...
It just flew over your head.
Yeah.
It's like Shrek. Adults like Shrek. Kids like Shrek. You know what I mean? There's something for everybody.
It's a double entendre for a lot of things. Now, with this song, it's a very relevant, very topical thing to talk about, especially because we are at a place where, you know, even Christmas songs are getting banned, right?
Yeah.
So it's listening to the songs and adding this quality of characteristic of is it okay today, even though it's from the past? Mm-hmm. I don't know what your guys' thoughts are.
Well, that's the question. The question is proposed: is singing something that was from a different time period okay to do, and just to recognize nowadays that this is not how things are, or should we change the song? Should we make them PC?
That's We're all looking at Nino like
no.
See,
tell us, Nino.
Honestly, I think when songs come like that, it's a piece. Everything you put out there, whether it's a song, a play, or whatnot, it's a piece of art, and it's a piece of art from that time period. To change things is almost like changing history. Mm-hmm. Like, even if we could change history, like, we wouldn't be able to learn so many, some of the things that we've come to today. I don't know. What do you think?
Because my thing is this, is we get a chance to correct history.
Right.
And we don't have to perpetuate these notions because something's old, it must be good.
Uh-huh.
We have to realize that things are modernized. Mm-hmm. We are here. Mm-hmm. We realize now that Ricky going, Lucy, is not okay.
Right.
You know, you don't just threaten to hit your wife.
But would you change that?
Lucy, no, because it's great. But in this case of the song, but there are a lot of songs and shows, and it's something, that's why I said it's very topical. It's such it's such a situation where we love to say, oh, people are being sensitive, but it's also a part of progress, and it's just a very interesting, and once again, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend does that thing where they talk about something that's so simple, yet so relevant, and that no one else is touching.
Right, right.
No one else is talking about this. I mean, Saloon Girl is basically, the pirate song was basically
abuse.
About abuse
this
and rape.
This one's about being a girl that's slept around and therefore she's not worthy
you're basically,
of having a husband.
Exactly. Because you've had sexual partners as a woman that you are unworthy.
Mm-hmm.
And these are, once again, that we have songs like this for real.
Mm-hmm.
We do have things
like they may
nature.
Have exaggerated certain things, but like not by much.
Not by much.
There's definitely topics and show. I mean, you just said it. I Love Lucy when you know Desi Arnaz goes Lucy. It was
Honeymooners. Like we saw it so much.
Pal to the moon, and you watch it. There are things that I watch now that are awkward. They are awkward.
They get a little cringy.
They are awkward for me to watch, and I'm like, you know, on one hand, as a person, as a comedian, I love pushing the envelope.
Right.
But on the other hand, I know.
We definitely know.
Trust me. You guys know. Especially off air, you know, right?
Definitely.
But the concept is, it's also, is it funny? If it's cringeworthy, then just be funnier.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, I'm in the middle on it where I think that there are certain things that may be so outdated that maybe we just don't need to bring them back. Like, especially like Broadway.
Blackface. I just don't feel like there's a place for that. Right. That, I mean, you can't be like, oh, well, that's just how it used to be. Yeah.
But
I mean,
especially for Broadway, because like we do these revivals, we bring shows back.
Sure.
And there's certain ones that I think we can still learn from and keeping them. Like, South Pacific is about racism. Mm-hmm. So changing that would
defeat the purpose.
Defeat the purpose of the show.
I understand that.
But there are certain shows that maybe we just don't need to really bring them back and revive them. Maybe we just make new things that have grown with the time.
Right.
Now, you're a musical person, mm-hmm. and you're a musical theater, and you're an amazing actor. So, my question to you is this. Would you, let's say you were faced with that decision that Rebecca was faced with. Mm-hmm. You're here, you're singing a song that you feel is a little awkward or cringeworthy, and you're in this delicate position of changing it or not, and knowing that you'll get in trouble for changing it. What do you do?
Yeah, it's such a hard question to answer, because it also depends on where you're at. Because if you're a new actress, saying no to that chance and that opportunity might mean that you don't get another one, you know. And but then also your
morals.
Like
what we're presuming happened to Rebecca at this point.
And then so and then you have your morals too, though. It's like, do you stand up for your morals, or do you do it hoping that you know, at some point you get this career and you can feel a little good about it. But yeah,
that's a tough one. And like, it's topical, right? You, like you said, it's topical. It's great to be able to, it's art, and that's what it was at that point in time, but it's a great conversation starter or whatnot. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, I feel exactly what you were saying. It's a toss up with certain types of situations, certain types of songs.
I mean, this is community theater, so for this, I probably would just be like, no, I'm okay. I don't need to sing.
This is the only community. No, I know. This is the only step for Rebecca. It's mm-hmm. the only thing. Like, it was definitely.
Well, I'm just taking what you're saying and saying that this is community theater. So for many people, they could probably be like, I'm just not going to do it. But this could also be
Broadway. Right. And then what?
And then what do you do? Do you give up knowing that maybe you don't get another part because it's so hard to get one part?
Wow.
Or do you make the sacrifice and do it?
I mean, that's a good question. If you guys want to, you know, answer that question in the comments.
I'd love to know what people would think.
It's the same thing, not to, like, relate it to something bigger, but it's the same kind of mental process that happens with the Me Too stuff that people were getting on about, like, well, you didn't say anything. You knew about this going on. You didn't say anything. But do you say something and then potentially ruin your career, or do you not say something and kind of hate
you get
yourself?
Put in a really tough spot, and that's something you have to process and really have to think about it. And I think you're the only one that can answer that type of,
and especially for women and minorities and stuff who already have a harder time getting those things. It's really hard.
Like I mean, in a situation like that personally, you have to stick with principles and morals. I'm selling out, but 100% I'm tap dancing. I'm just saying, selling out, guys. Because, I need a house in the hills.
Because we left on there, let's do a quick into our segment for Crazy Meter for Rebecca. So this will be our chance. Was this crazy for her to do, or not crazy?
The only reason why she was a little crazy was because she was projecting, trying to find her happiness by trying to do this, because she thought this was the end all be all, her being in community theater or in theater in general or whatnot. So I would give her a 2.
I'm giving her a 0. This is the most sane thing that I've seen Rebecca do, is that she had a moral dilemma. Mm-hmm. She thought about it. And let's not forget, it was Nathaniel that actually did it. Mm-hmm. But the fact that she communicated her moral dilemma, she tried to rectify it in a very positive way. Mm-hmm. It wasn't destructive. It wasn't negative. She was rejected. And then Nathaniel took it upon herself. And she went along with it. She didn't have a meltdown or she didn't go, well, this wasn't for me. She just...
Yeah, right. I think I'm with you. I think she gets a 0 this one, because it wasn't her doing it and going out on stage without communicating it with her director first. And I know, guys, we don't have enough time to talk about all that, but let's just give a huge nod to the portrayal of community theater, that actress who did the director.
Amazing.
Amazing. That's
amazing. So as the director.
People she's taking themselves to the higher thing.
So serious.
She's from SNL?
She's from SNL, yeah. I forget her name, but she just totally reminded me of like a theater director.
But and Nathaniel getting the part because he's the good looking guy. Right. Like,
just walks in. You!
You
sometimes
are the prince.
Is that easy.
And he said A B C D. What he did?
He's saying sang
A B C. He's like, you got it.
I barely sang the ABC.
So strong.
So
such a good
such a great nod to that, and it also you know, Nathaniel has his whole thing where he says to her as well, I still have feelings for you.
Yeah. Nathaniel does it and Josh doesn't.
Josh lurks in the background and gets upset. We do have some news and gossip.
A little bit. Yes, we do. So get this. I mean, the show's ending, and some people are ready to go and are ready to start the next. And that is Vincent Rodriguez, who actually has a new recurring role on Netflix's Insatiable. So he landed that already, so he's ready for his next role and ready to go.
Wow.
As an actor, that's literally hitting the gold mine. That you have is another job lined up before your other job is completely finished.
Yeah, that's great. Is the good dream. So shout out to him for doing that. And, then,
and that's Greg, right?
No, that's Josh.
Josh. Chan,
yes.
Josh is good.
Yes. And then, which is funny, I guess Rachel just talked about this on Twitter like 7-8 hours ago.
Sure.
Rachel wants to turn J.K. Rowling's new Harry Potter into a porno. And she wants to fully fund this porno. Wow. You might have thoughts. Do you have thoughts?
Not only do I have thoughts, please contact me. I will be giving you notes. I have some angle suggestions.
Will you be watching is the bigger question.
Watching?
He wants to be
in it. I want to direct. Thank you so much.
He has a treatment. It's ready.
It's already ready to go.
Let us know.
Thank you.
I am the Half-Blood Prince. That's all I'm letting you know as we speak.
All right. Well, thank you so much for that news. I know that's great. Great for, you know, great for Harry Potter. You know, we have
great for Harry Potter, great for Vincent.
Leviosa. I'm ready.
Okay. We're kind of out of time, but let's do a rapid fire one prediction each.
Your AfterBuzz TV prediction. You go first.
I have a twist. Josh makes a major move.
Okay.
Big twist.
All right.
Same. Josh has been quiet. Everyone's been vocal. He might be the one that Rachel ends up with.
I'm not going to go into the relationship part. My prediction is because of her realizing what will happen if she pursues this, doing what theater's always done, she's going to create her own.
Wow. That's a great one.
Oh, wow. That's a good one.
Another quick prediction. Heather and I get married. I just want to throw that out there. Speaking into existence.
Well, thank you guys so much for being here with us today. We'll be back. Nino and I will be back next week. Tehran will forward us his thoughts. Until then, guys, or for you, Tehran, where can they find you to keep up with what you think of the show?
Find me at I Am Tehran all across the board at IAMTEHRAN. I thank you all so much for having me on the show. It's so sad that the show is ending and it might possibly end without me, but I will be here in thoughts. And you never know, I might Skype in, I might show up.
You never know.
I might end up with Heather.
And you guys, it's your boy Nino. You can catch me at Nino Lanera on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Some of you crazy ass girlfriend fans, thank you for sending me those screenshots of me on Superstore. I appreciate that. That was nice to talk to you guys on DM. So shout out to you guys. Thank you for that.
Slid in the DMs.
And you guys can find me at Bri, B-R-I underscore Phipps, P-H-I-P-P-S on Twitter and Instagram. And of course, we'll be back next week to discuss another episode of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. See you then.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.